In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Why did the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Eternal Son, empty himself of glory and become like us in all things but sin? In other words, why did the Lord become incarnate? To save us? To defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil, and death itself? To open the gates of heaven for us? And to reveal to us the truth which comes from the mouth of God himself? In short, he came to save us. Our Lord did not come to make us feel better about ourselves. Jesus came to make us be better, period. He did not come to affirm us in our sins, but rather to call us to repentance. And not just to call us to turn from our sins, but to make it actually possible for us to turn from our sins and to have those sins washed away, so that it will be as if they had never taken place. Our Lord, from the very earliest moments of his public ministry, preached a message of repentance. A message of repentance and truth. And how was this message received? How was our Lord received? Pretty much like the prophets who came before him. Some people received the message with great joy, and other people resisted it mightily. All of the prophets were resisted. That's why Moses didn't want to go speak to Pharaoh. That is why we hear in sacred scripture how many of the prophets, when they are called to be a prophet, say, "No, not me." Think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a particularly tough job. He had to bring a message to the people of Israel that they had finally exhausted God's patience, that they would be conquered, that they would be taken away in slavery, and yet God would still not forget them. How did the people react to this message? Did they turn from their sins? Did they repent? Did they put on sackcloth and ashes? No. Their response was, "Let's put Jeremiah to death. We'll drop him in a hole, and he will die of thirst and hunger." And it was a very good thing that not all of the king's court was entirely depraved. That there was one man who stood up for Jeremiah, and because of him, Jeremiah's life was saved. When our Lord brought the gospel to the children of Israel, many received it with great joy. And who were these people? The ones who knew that they were sinners. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, those who had realized that they had gone far from God and rejoiced at that message that they could return to him. And then there were the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees thought they were perfect. They had no sins. And so their response to Jesus was not just to ignore him, but to take counsel against him, to arrange for him to be put to death. Jesus knew that this would be the response because it was part of God's plan for our salvation. Jesus knew, but it still frightened him. Remember the agony in the garden. "Lord, if it is possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done." Jesus was steadfast. Notice when he encountered opposition, he never said, "Oh, well, I'm going to speak a more positive message. People don't want to hear that, so I'm just going to talk about what they want to hear." Things that Jesus never said. There's a page on the internet called Things Jesus Never Said. It's hilarious, but also true. Jesus knew what the reaction would be by some people, because that is the reaction of sin to the truth. This is why Jesus said, "I have come to set a fire upon the earth. I have come to endure a baptism of suffering." And that he realized that he would not bring peace, but division, a division which cut even into the holy heart of families, that would set a father against his son, or a mother against her daughter. Make no mistake about it, Jesus wasn't a guy that went along to get along. Jesus wasn't a care bear. Jesus wasn't Mr. Rogers. Now, don't get me wrong, I have a great deal of respect for the late Fred Rogers. He was a truly good man. But Jesus was a different sort entirely. Jesus could certainly speak words of comfort when they were appropriate. But he could also speak words of challenge and confrontation when they were called for. Remember what his cousin St. John said. "O you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" How did Jesus refer to the scribes and the Pharisees? "Whitened sepulchres." Indeed, not a carebearer. And so, what kind of reaction should we expect when we preach the gospel by how we live our lives and the words that we say? Well, if we are faithful to Christ, it should come as no surprise that the world will not like it, that the world won't like us. Think of some of our great recent saints. St. John Paul II. Everybody likes St. John Paul, right? Wrong. Did you know St. John Paul II was repeatedly nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize? But every time it was vetoed by the Lutheran Archbishop of either Uppsala or Oslo, I can't remember which. But it was vetoed because of St. John Paul's steadfast proclamation of the Catholic faith concerning the immorality of abortion and contraception. And yet John Paul didn't keep his mouth shut to get along. He boldly proclaimed the truth. Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta. Everybody loved Mother Teresa, right? I mean, after all, she took care of the poorest of the poor. How could you not love her? The BBC produced a documentary called Hell's Angels, which was a vicious hit piece on Mother Teresa. If our Lord is treated this way, if his followers are treated this way, then we should not be surprised if we are not looked upon with favor by the world. St. Paul speaks to us profoundly about this in our second reading. "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden of sin that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand or the right of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners, in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood." How should we respond when we receive opposition due to the faith? I know it sounds weird, but the way that we should respond is with joy, because we are given a share in the suffering and the rejection of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.